Welcome back inside Bank of America Stadium for the latest edition of the Panthers podcast. Today is Thursday, April 12th. Bill Belt alongside Max Henson, just like last week. But hey, we got a special guest here today, Brian Strickland, back from one of his vacations. And apparently we got it wrong last week.
Yeah, I heard you guys thought I was on a cruise. Mm-hmm. I was in the water at Myrtle Beach, barely, was cold. But yeah, cruise is still to come, Bill. Keep up with my vacation schedule, would you?
More vacation than Kramer. So we're here in the team meeting room, right, where we're recording this today. This is a special site for us. We're on almost like a site visit for you.
It is. Yeah,
you got to visualize what's to come, can't you, Brian?
I literally am right now. Max, you're in one of the 90 chairs that will be filled with is groupies a fair word for the people that want to come out and see Panthers.com in action?
So I don't know how many people actually know about it because it wasn't promoted at all. It was just a link on the website. They were apparently doing a night with Panthers.com on the 24th. And where is that? We don't even know what do we know. It's not in this room, is it?
It's in this room.
It is in this room.
It's in this room. That's why
there'll be one person in each of these seats we're looking at right
now. So you are getting mentally prepared because you have, and it's, I think, fear of public speaking is a very, very, very common fear.
Right.
I think it's fear of dying, and then fear of public speaking is like number two.
True, but a lot of people just avoid it. They don't put themselves in those situations, and I haven't been in this type of situation since college, probably, Bill.
No, really?
Yeah, I did a class presentation about the classic television show American Gladiators with Mia Hamm, former U.S. Olympic soccer player, among my fellow students.
How'd that go for you?
It went pretty well. See? I will say this. Like, I know American Gladiators inside and out, and knowing the topic certainly should help the cause, but I avoid public speaking like the plague, so I hope I show up for the night.
I think you're supposed to visualize them naked, right? So are you visualizing
underwear, I thought.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. You're the guinea pig right there. You're the one who's sitting in the Cam Newton seat in the
but
front
yeah,
row.
But yeah, Brian, like you're saying, you're pretty comfortable, I think, with the subject matter at hand here with this football team.
I should be.
Team,
I mean, so. I'll be able to talk about it here for a few minutes on the podcast, so I should be able to do it with 90 people. But I tell you, it does make me nervous thinking about a head being in each of those seats, just staring at me, just staring.
What could go wrong?
I can be a worst case scenario guy sometimes. Bill.
No, but see, here's the deal: it's gonna come and go, and you're gonna do it.
Yeah.
So why worry about it? Like, you're gonna do it,
right?
And it's gonna go fine,
right?
And you're gonna actually like some of it.
Yeah.
So okay, cool.
I'll probably feel better about myself after I make it through it.
Yeah. And you will.
All right. Thank you. I need your support, though. I really
Needless to say, everybody, listen, it's going to be a really fun night. Look forward to seeing you. There's going to be a lot of good conversation. We're all going to have lots of interesting stuff to tell you about. So
imagine if we promoted it. Where we'd have to put it. We have to fill up the lower bowl.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Let's move on.
All right. Yesterday, big news, the release of the preseason schedule.
Huge.
I mean, that is just – what's your favorite part of the schedule?
I'm just excited that I just hit me getting home and being able to tell my son I was one of the few people that knew before 5 o'clock. Just
you
touch
had inside
before
information
5 o'clock.
That?
Yeah,
oh, that's
knew I knew like 2 minutes before.
Oh, wow.
Did you get the email?
I did.
About what the schedule is going to be, and I feel honored to have that information.
All right, that tremendous stat that this is the same exact slate the Panthers went through in 2015. Before they had that magical season, which obviously means I put that out very sarcastically yesterday, and someone said that's a meaningless stat. It's different rosters, really, really. Yeah. So this doesn't mean they're going.
You didn't. You got to use the sarcasm font.
But I will ask, what do you think about the other stat, which all eight teams that made the playoffs went at least 500 in the preseason? What do we make of that? Like, I don't know. Obviously, going 500, there are teams that have gone 500 plus that didn't make the playoffs. But every time when you look back to a playoff team, they went at least 500. Does that have any meaning at all? Is it possible?
I don't know, because I know you get upset about the whole they're always opening on the road thing. So here they are opening the preseason on the road. Does that get in your craw too?
And taking it to 15 again, Max, this would be more of a Max question. Wasn't that Buffalo? Was that that Buffalo game with the great comeback in the preseason opener?
Yeah, Brandon Weger.
It's a thriller,
And, you know, the guys were giddy in the locker room afterwards, right? And there's a little bit of hey, guys, that's not good enough type of message after that game,
right?
If you recall.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to win. It's nice to win in thrilling fashion. For me, the preseason is all just about staying healthy. Yeah. Just get through it healthy. I don't care what the record
like
is.
You? That's, It's a long grind for you coming up in the regular.
The players. Season. The players out on the field, you just want everybody to get out of there unscathed. And then,
which they did not that year, obviously.
I know.
Calvin Benjamin.
Well, but that was training camp practice.
Yeah.
But still. Right. Have we talked enough about the preseason schedule yet?
I think I was like, hey, let's go brief on this preseason schedule stuff. And we're like 2+ minutes in. Let's rewind a little bit because the last time we did a podcast, which was last Thursday, the Thomas Davis news had not dropped yet.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, it's been a historic and memorable offseason already, and it's going to continue to be. And then this nugget dropped. So since you were gone, Brian, what was your reaction when you heard it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously did not see that coming. Right. To state the obvious, TD suspended for the first 4 games of the season. He obviously, you know, took to social media outlets to express his disappointment in the situation and himself.
Ooh,
for what
I got to interrupt you here. I got the important advisory here. The Mike Mayock conference call Friday, April 20th at 1 p.m. Eastern.
I had inside information on that too, Bill. I was already counting the days.
Anyway, with
TD, I mean, wow, right? He missed one game last year, I guess. Has he missed 4 games total since he came back from his third knee situation? I don't think so. So that's one good thing, you have a little while to prepare for that, right? Obviously, you know ahead of time that's how you're going to start out the season. So that could potentially impact some things as we get into things. But, I mean, obviously, there was already talk about Shaq Thompson, you know, kind of transitioning into a bigger role anyway. And, you know, I guess you get a test case of that right off the bat.
Yeah, I thought Max wrote a good piece about it because, of course, you know, football questions, you try and dissect, okay, what did or didn't happen with Thomas. You have to then think, okay, well, it's the first quarter of the season. That's a long time. And I think Shaq Thompson, he's been good since he's been drafted here, but he hasn't, you know, we see these glimmers of greatness and they haven't been consistent. And I think this is now an opportunity to do that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I wrote about in like the wake of Thomas's suspension. And, you know, Shaq's been a starter. So this isn't like a new ground for him in that sense. You know, they're going to have to replace Thomas in the starting lineup with somebody like David Mayo. But for me, the bigger story is the fact that, you know, Shaq is able to kind of have a path cleared in front of him for the first time, because Thomas has always sort of been not necessarily in the way of that, but kind of, you know, ever since Thomas announced Shaq as the draft pick, it was kind of this, he was going to be passing the baton to Shaq. And because Thomas has played so well, it's been hard for that to really ever happen completely. And now with Thomas saying that he may not even be done after this year, you know, you kind of wonder about, you know, how much longer is this kind of TD Shaq transition going to kind of take place. But that said, I think, yeah, these 4 games, this is Shaq's opportunity now. There's nothing stopping him from being on the field all 3 downs in any situation to play alongside Luke Kuechly, play in his position of choice, and make some plays. And I think that's the bottom line for him at this point in his career heading into year 4, is we want to see the potential that we keep hearing about and the training camp splash plays that we see every so often. It's like, okay, let's see that during the regular season. And so for me, I look at it as, yes, disappointing for Thomas Davis and a big opportunity for Shaq Thompson.
Didn't TD say something about, this might not be my last year after all? Did I see that as part of
this? Yeah, that's what I just said. He's saying that, you know, 2018 might not be it. So
yeah, and I'll ask you guys, this may transition into something else. I don't think so, but do you guys think this is enough to impact draft strategy at all as far as the Panthers are concerned?
I don't think necessarily. I don't think you can throw what you've done for months because of 4 games.
Right.
So would they, you know, middle round, late round? I don't know if they'd actually
open it up for
a need position, especially with so many other needs.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, sometimes I'm amazed at how a guy will drop because he might not be ready until, you know, July, coming off an injury or something in the draft.
And I think this is why David Mayo's on this team too, right? I mean, they drafted him for a reason to be kind of a depth linebacker. And so now he'll have that chance to show that, yeah, if called upon for 4 games to step in as a starter, he can do just that.
Yeah, I could see them drafting a linebacker eventually in the draft, which I think would irk some some folks in the fan base with so many other holes, but I don't really think it radically changes the strategy.
And I always, of course, with something like that, I go back to, I think some people were irked when they used a first-round pick on a linebacker in 2012 when Luke Kuechly was taken. So I don't have a problem.
They didn't need him. They had John Beeson.
Right.
And they didn't need Ryan Khalil all those years back. I think they had Hartwig they had just signed or something like that.
Justin. Is that right?
Is it Justin Hartwig? I think you're right. Okay. Let's jump. We're going to talk a little bit about my piece I did this week on second-year players, but who cares? Let's move on.
What?
To, whatever.
You can read it on Panthers.
Yeah, go to Panthers.com.
No, that's a tease.
Yeah.
fine. Who cares? because we know people love their mock drafts, and really, if folks are listening now, they want to get some draft nuggets or hear us talk about the draft so they could – I know some people are trying to translate what we're saying to what it could actually – mean, but you guys know my opinions on mock drafts. So
people
are doing what's become a hot trend is not the full mock drafts; it's these mini mock drafts.
Mm-hmm.
So Bucky Brooks and Mel Kiper did theirs this week, where they took the Panthers' first four picks, which would be the first round, second round, and then two in the third. Mm-hmm. Now, before I criticize them too much, I do have to give Mel some huge credit for last year, because I went back and I looked at it. He had Christian McCaffrey as the Panthers' first-round pick, which by this time last year, that was a pretty safe guess. And he had defensive end Jordan Willis early in the second, or midway through the second. And then, so here's where the credit needs to be due, a guy named Taylor Moton with the Panthers' pick late in the second round.
What a great stab in the dark.
Which
that
actually
was,
had.
Right?
Those are one of the – that's good for him, which is funny, because then we all know how hard that is to actually – whether it's a stab in the dark or if he did have some inside information. We know how hard that is. So when we took look at this year's lists, we kind of know that maybe you'll get one or two.
Yeah, maybe not, because of the – 8th versus 24th in the first round, obviously a lot harder to project.
So Bucky had, and I'll just read them off, and then you guys can have reactions to them. Bucky said Hayden Hurst in the first, tight end. Linebacker Malik Jefferson in the second, early in the third, or the fourth, the first to the third, running back Royce Freeman. And then the second, third round pick, receiver Deshaun Hamilton. Mel went with, and Mel and I are on a first name basis like that. He went with safety Justin Reed in the first. Second round pick, defensive end Tyquan Lewis. And then in the third, wide receiver Jordan Lasley with H-back Jalen Samuels to follow. Your thoughts, Brian?
Well, I think we don't really need to show up for the draft, probably, because somehow between those, we have the next four Carolina Panthers, I think. Oh, I'm just kidding. Max, I know you had already looked at some reaction to the Bucky Brooks one in particular, what it was set up. You know, the thing that happens with these all the time, inevitably, is it's based on perceived needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you said that was kind of what Bucky presented his as, right? And
yeah, I mean,
too thrilled about that.
Yeah, you can watch the segment on Panthers.com.
Yeah,
you can watch the segment on Panthers.com. And what Bucky does is kind of takes a look at the Panthers' current depth chart and then assesses it and says, okay, where could they use some help? And I think that said, you look at his four selections, and to not see a defensive back anywhere on there has people, you know, kind of up in arms. How could he not have a defensive back? We need safety, corner,
and
something.
A reminder that this isn't actually the draft.
Right.
Just a
exactly.
That's a good
but,
point.
But yeah, you could just look at the mentions in response to the tweet I posted and, you know, see for yourself. But yeah, of course, I agree. I think, you know, we talked about on the podcast last week, Bill and I, the importance of the secondary right now and needing to address that in this year's draft. So that said, you look at the other names he's got here, it does fill some needs. I mean, we've talked about the tight end position for a while now, and the heir apparent for Greg Olsen, Hayden Hurst, is, you know, some consider the best tight end in this class, local guy from South Carolina. The linebacker, of course, is going to raise some eyebrows, and people will say, why would this team ever draft a linebacker with their second pick? But beyond that, running back, we talked about that as well. Need somebody to complement Christian McCaffrey, Freeman, 234-pound running back who could give you more of that kind of power. Compliment.
Do you know that off the top of your head? Are you like one of these draft dorks now?
I took some notes before I came down.
Yeah, wow, he's prepared. Oh, nice.
And then wide receiver. We've talked about speed, explosiveness, weapons. You fill that with the Penn State wideout and Deshaun Hamilton. So I think if Bucky had put a safety or corner in place of that linebacker, I think people would be a little more satisfied.
Yeah, I agree. So, I could see her, and people are going to be upset if the Panthers did go tight end for it. They'd be upset about that because as much as you,
yeah, that wouldn't go over
all that
well.
It's fun to think about the two tight end set and all that other stuff. Yeah. And Hurst is going to be 25 this fall, because he played professional baseball.
Look who's prepared. Yeah,
Hayden Hurst.
Yeah, you're prepared.
I'm always pretty good in the first round.
Okay.
It's after that where it's like I kind of lose interest. And right. Like, I can't pretend to know whether these hundreds of players are how they're going to end up.
Yeah. So in theory, you guys, more people would be on board with Mel Kiper's setup here with Justin Reed, the safety
in the first round.
Yes, but
because you didn't listen to our podcast last week, you wouldn't know this.
There's no reason to talk about him.
I don't think that that safety at 24 is worth the pick.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So but there is listen to the podcast.
But there is a safety that you think at 24. So I guess I'll have to go back and listen. Or are you
going
to tell
me? That's a tease right there.
Okay, wow.
They're the top two safeties. And then after that, move on to the second round with safety.
Yeah, I mean, the one to me that's interesting there, but it's just, you know, again, we don't always have knowledge about guys later in the draft, but Jalen Samuels listed as an H-back. Mel is the fourth pick. We said that's the second or third, right? You know, played at NC State, another local guy that mostly lined up in the backfield. I'm trying to visualize him as a tight end. I know that's what everybody says. I've had a hard time
doing he's not a tight end. No, because I interviewed at the Combine, and he was essentially like my size. It wasn't yet, no. But he's very much in the mold as far as versatility as Christian McCaffrey. So that's what seems redundant. So he seems like an interesting piece.
Yeah.
But you already have an interesting piece. And then so is kind of Curtis Samuel.
Isn't that what we said about it on draft day pretty much? That was the same
point,
deal.
Yeah, you want some more guys with more clearly defined roles. I do like that Mel also goes, and I'm going to continue on a first name basis with Mel. Everybody's on first name.
That's a good point.
Okay. The defensive end spot, though, that's not something that Bucky addressed, and I think that's another one where we spent a lot of time talking about the secondary and then weapons on offense, but defensive end is a big position also to look at for this franchise right now. I mean, they need to get younger there. They need more options there. I mean, Julius Peppers, we know the clock is ticking on his career. Mario Addison has emerged as one of the top, you know, edge rushers in the NFL. But beyond that, what does this team have that it can really count on? So I like the idea of bringing in a guy in Lewis who fits the mold of what the Panthers need in their defensive ends. He's 265 pounds, 6'3". I could see him.
Does he have fluid hips?
He's got heavy hands. Yeah. Fluid hips.
Violent, I heard.
Violent, yeah.
How's his tape?
I mean, he's got good tape. I mean, he comes from a program in OSU that pumps out NFL talent. So I do like that. I like that. And I'm with you, obviously, Bill, as we talked about last week. This is the safety spot at number one. You can go back and listen to our thoughts again, but
yeah.
Wouldn't go that direction, but I see where Mel's going with his needs that he addressed.
Is this where we talk about Wes Horton, though, as an answer? Come on. Where's the Wes Horton love? He's always forgotten.
So. I mean, Wes has been really good to this team. I mean, it's been great to have him around, right? Because there were times where I think they even released him and then brought him
multiple
back.
Multiple times.
And then he comes back in and he plays pretty well. So
yeah,
I mean,
almost led the league in strip sacks.
And yeah.
Tied for the league lead over a 15-game span. How
it's crazy
is
how
that, right?
His knack for forcing fumbles when he's able to get to the quarterback. But yeah, he's been – this team has needed him from time to time. And they've been lucky to have him around as somebody they can call on.
But despite that, your point is well taken about, you know, Mario's not getting any younger either, for that matter.
That's
right?
A good point. Look, so, yeah, Mario's into his 30s as well, and we know this defense and really this league in general is predicated on affecting the quarterback, right? Yeah. And you've got to have the horses to do that.
Who do you think's going to be on the field for the very first defensive snap of the regular season? It's going to be
defensive end.
Yeah, it's going to be Mario Addison, and I don't think Julius Peppers.
I think it's going to be Wes Horton.
Yeah,
because exactly.
I know they're not going to take a first round end.
Right.
I don't think. So that he's probably going to be your technically starter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the first round end point, you just mentioned that too. I don't think it's renowned as a class, as a good class on the whole, the defensive end. Mm-hmm. So you probably wouldn't go defensive end in the first round anyway.
This
and that makes it doubly so.
This is a tough offseason to try and get ends. I mean, they essentially got the best end just to resign.
Yeah. I would say it's huge. I mean, could you imagine if Pep had decided, you know, I'm done. Then where would that have left this team? And I know we skipped over your segment here, Bill, but I do want to, you know, mention, I mean, Deshaun Hall, this team used to pick on him in last year's draft. It'd be really nice if they could get something out of him in year two. We talk about this position that, you know, needs some capable bodies to be able to rotate in and out.
Yeah, we should know a little bit more about him next week when players report. We'll see how he's looking, and hopefully get a chance to catch up with him. But, yeah, players report next week.
That's another tease, Bill. You're telling about people to look for the website in the future for stuff.
Is that what that was?
Maybe. Right. I don't know.
Any other, because we went defense heavy last week, Max, any other offensive skill position guys or even anyone on the line or anybody on offense that you'd
want to highlight? We talked about, quite a few spots here when looking at these two mock drafts, but I guess neither of our two analysts in Bucky or Mel went wide receiver in the first round, and I think that's something that particularly the fan base right now is keying in on.
Yeah,
is maybe a wide receiver going in round one, and I don't know how you guys feel about that as a potential idea. I mean, if this team were to select a wideout with that first pick, you think that would make sense? And is there anybody you could see?
Calvin Ridley, if Calvin Ridley drops to 24, sure, that makes sense. And I think DJ Moore, and you're starting to see this past week some more interest around DJ Moore, that there's even a chance that he might not even end up get to 24.
So, right. Yeah.
I could see, as Marty made pretty clear to almost every media outlet here, one of his goals this offseason was to get Cam Moore weapons. Mm-hmm. And so I could see one of those two, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's a deep position. That's the other side of it, of the coin, of course. You know, there's been rumors that there have been wide receivers all inside these walls here the last few days as far as draft visits are concerned. I think we're bringing in 29 of our 30 visits are wide receivers, right? So, but saying that, it is a deep class. So, again, first round, one of those two guys in particular, I would agree with you, Bill.
It's not good at the top.
But I always play the game where I just hope that, like, oh, maybe one of these guys they think he could be there in the second round.
Sure, but, I mean, you know? So it's not good at the top. So if Ridley, who throughout this draft process was, if you can get him at 24, is that a good thing, or does that just really speak to the quality of the top of the class?
I see what you're saying.
I don't really –
Yeah, doesn't it always seem like more receivers go earlier than we forecast?
No doubt. Right? That's a good point.
That's why I'm not sure. Maybe DJ Moore's not going to end up at 24.
I know. And I mean, before the combine, Moore was like a second round pick. And then he gets measured at the combine as 6 foot instead of 5'10", which people thought. And then all of a sudden, immediately, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. You don't have to worry about his size as much anymore. And then he runs what he runs in Indy. And it's like, okay, now we're talking about a first-round guy.
Factor how much receivers got in this free agent class.
Yeah.
Really, are we really going to go however many picks without having
That's
a
true.
Receiver pick or two?
And so to your point, I think, is he going to last into the 20s? I don't know. I mean, I love the DJ Moore idea. I think, he brings a lot of what this offense could use. But, I don't know if he'll even be on the board
as
an option.
Christian Kirk, anybody?
Christian Kirk's another one that we haven't even mentioned.
Do we put Ridley and DJ Moore above the pack a little bit, though? Is that fair? I feel like so.
Yeah,
so
I think Kirk is maybe a more likely possibility to wait and get. I don't think you'd get him that late in the second round, but I think of the three, he's the one that you have a shot at.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Again, sitting here, if Moore does go like we're talking about, my personal thoughts about, hey, let's look toward the second round would grow as opposed to, some of these other guys in the first round if Ridley and Moore are already gone. Did that make sense?
It did.
Cool.
I was just thinking, you almost said it like gross.
Yeah.
Just like the big story you just posted earlier.
Oh, another tease.
Yeah. You can share it.
Yeah. Jordan Gross going to make the second round pick. Mm-hmm. I think that's right. The Panthers going to announce that at the podium. Of course, he was a first round pick himself back today. Great pick you found of Jordan and John Fox holding up Jordan's trophy.
Jersey.
Thank you, sir. I'm getting nervous. I'm remembering the setting we're in here.
You forgot about it for now 23 minutes.
That's true.
It's 20 minutes.
Bill, maybe if I just keep making eye contact with you throughout, then that will relax me come Panthers.com night.
And I think that should do it. What do you think?
let's wrap this thing up,
All right, folks, we'll talk to you next Thursday. Yeah, it's a date.
Let's do it.
It's a date.
Sounds good.
Talk to you then.